The Royal Commission into Trade Union Governance has been gaining new insights into internecine union skullduggery. It's been told of intimidation, dirty tricks and power plays among those who seek to represent the interests of ordinary working people. The battles within the Health Services Union are the focus of this week's hearings. Nick Grimm's been there for PM and joins me now. So most people will know the names of Craig Thompson and probably Michael Williamson by now. Are they what all this is about?
Well, yes and no, Mark. Of course, they played a large part in the calls for the establishment of the Royal Commission, but they're not the target as such of this hearing. Their presence does loom large over these proceedings, you'd have to say. Counsel assisting the Royal Commissioner, Jeremy Stoljar, explained this morning in his opening address that their activities are really just the launching point for the inquiry. Now, the former Labor MP Craig Thompson was found guilty earlier this year of theft and of defrauding the HSU in order to pay for his personal expenses. He's currently on bail pending an appeal. And the former HSU National President Michael Williamson is now in prison after pleading guilty to two charges of fraud. But Jeremy Stoljar told the Royal Commission that since those matters have been dealt with elsewhere, he doesn't want to plough through them again, but he does want to look at the issues that arise from them, namely, how did the corruption flourish? Why wasn't it detected? Why wasn't something done about it? And what happened when whistleblowers attempted to raise their concerns about it?
So how's the Royal Commission setting about examining those things?
Well, very much in terms of how whistleblowers like Cathy Jackson were treated by their union colleagues for raising their concerns. Mark, let me read you something that really set the tone for this inquiry. It was a quote taken from a union campaign strategy document prepared by Michael Williamson. Now, it really shows how he treated his opponents within the union. It's a quote from that seminal political handbook, Machiavelli's The Prince. And I'll read you the quote that appears under the heading Campaign Strategy. Quote, "It has to be noted that men must either be pampered or crushed because they can get revenge for small injuries, but not for grievous ones. So any injury a man does to an enemy must be of such a kind that there can be no fear of revenge." Now, at times, the events inside the HSU has been a bit reminiscent of TV dramas like Game of Thrones or House of Cards or The Sopranos, for that matter. So,
without the blood and the swords, I hope.
Well, look, at times,
head actually got chopped off.
Yeah, it did get pretty willing at times, though. Let's have a listen to Jeremy Stoljar's account of what happened at the union's annual convention in 2011, which descended into a near riot after Cathy Jackson and others inside the union reported Michael Williamson's corrupt conduct to police.
All at once, Mr. Williamson strode in through the side door and entered the convention. As he marched in, the theme from the film Rocky began playing over the public address system. The 600 or so New South Wales delegates got to their feet and gave Mr. Williamson a standing ovation. Ms. Jackson and Mr. Villano watched all this from the audience. In due course, when they did get an opportunity to speak at the convention, they were disparaged and shouted down with loud booing and jeering from the New South Wales contingent. Ms. Jackson describes being abused, being called, quote, Judas, close quote, and being spat at.
Jeremy Stoljar describing the 2011 HSU convention. But there are claims and counterclaims here. There are claims about Cathy Jackson as well.
That's right. And there are those who say that she shouldn't be treated as a whistleblower herself. The Royal Commission has indicated it's going to examine a number of allegations that have been raised against her in recent weeks. It wants to look at unauthorised payments, for example, to something called the National Health Development Account. Also an alleged slush fund that's associated with a company called Naranto No. 10. There's also the allegation that Ms. Jackson used $1 million in members' funds to pay off two personal credit cards and that she withdrew approximately $22,000 in cash using HSU bank checks. This is all having alleged to have taken place between 2007 and 2011.
Given that a lot of this comes from money subscribed by very, very low-paid workers, it seems like a pretty murky kind of affair.
Indeed. But of course, the stakes are so high in union politics because, of course, whoever controls the union controls a big voting block within the Australian Labor Party, and it's an important power base. As one of the witnesses told the inquiry today, it might be that a lot of people inside and outside the union chose to turn a blind eye to Michael Williamson's corrupt activities because they relied on the union's support for their political survival. Indeed, union election campaign funding is a major theme, and we heard from another union figure today, Marco Bellano, who gave an account about how he was shocked to learn from his campaign manager, Stephen Donnelly, that the Labor leader, Bill Shorten, had donated to his union election campaign, even though he was aligned with his opponent in that campaign. Let's have a listen to what he told the Inquiry.
And I asked him straight out, you mean to tell me Shorten has donated money to us? He said, yes, sort of half laughing. I said, how much? He goes, 5,000. I said, why on earth would he do that? You know, he's our enemy. And he said, his words were, he's having a bet both ways.
And it seems that's politics union style, Mark. We're just hearing there from Marco Bellano, just giving an account of some of the interesting campaign donation practices that existed within the union.
Nick Grimm, thank you very much.